Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Margaret McCall, you're listening to Business Life Works, the show that guides you and coaches you on how to use the harmonic matching process to create a fulfilling life and to attract your desires. Today, we are talking about one big desire that many companies have, whether they're small, medium-sized, or large, and that is how to attract diverse talent and manage everyone better to be more productive and certainly to make more money as well. Paola Sessi D'Amelio is our guest. Paola, you with us?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to give a little bit of information to kind of gear us toward all your good information you're going to provide us today. So give me a couple minutes to kind of set the stage for you, and then I'm going to have lots of questions, okay?
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Great. Wonderful. Disney, Starbucks, and Salesforce are the latest corporate giants to call workers back to their cubicles. Data indicates that starting in 2024, a staggering 90% of companies will require employees to resume working from the office at least 3 days a week. While some see this as a regressive move driven by corporate profit rather than employee welfare, data scientist and lawyer Paola Sessi D'Amelio, our guest today, offers a different perspective, which we're all looking forward to hearing. Paola contends that a return to the office could be particularly advantageous for women and minorities. Current data suggests that these groups have faced career stagnation during remote work periods due to decreased visibility and the ensuing missed promotional opportunities. Paola can discuss the potential upside of returning to the office and how to make a hybrid model work. Paola holds dual appointments at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and Harvard Law School, where she serves as faculty chair of the Executive Leadership Research Initiative for Women and Minority Attorneys. Her new book is called Diversity Dividend: The Transformational Power of Small Changes to De-Bias Your Company, Attract Diverse Talent, Manage Everyone Better, and Make More Money. That's a pretty tall order, so we are so happy to have you with us today, Paola. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for having me today and be able to share
you with us. How did you become interested in this topic? You've got such a diverse background in law, and your PhD is, tell us what your PhD is in. What topic?
It's long time ago. I wish it was yesterday, but being a lawyer had helped me, understand what is a way in which we can convince and present an argument, to an audience. Yes, this is not a way of being backed up by science or by number or by data. And so as such, I went back. I did another PhD in behavioral economy more than 2 decades ago. And in that vein, I was equipping myself to be able to provide solid foundation for an argument that I could present, grounded in science, grounded in data, being able to advance a point of view who is solidified by, data and data, I think, is more important nowadays, especially as it helps drive decisions that are informed not only for today but for the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds good. That sounds good. Well, tell us, again, how did you become interested in diversity, equity, inclusion, and why did you make it, why did you decide to make this the core of your career, the focus of your career?
Yeah, you know, I will say, Margaret, that I call myself more citizen of the world than anything else. I'm a first-generation American. I truly believe in the American dream, realizing that our diversity is our strength. I grew up in a very nomadic way, and I witnessed firsthand the power of how our diversity can bring innovative solutions. And as such, being able to provide and, I will say, create a world that is a little bit more fair and equitable was something that drives me since my childhood. Growing up in that view, going to law school, going back to study economy and then working as a professional along the way, devoting my career to provide solutions to create that world, not only for myself but also for children, is something that I have invested, I will say, my entire life for.
Wow. Okay. Well, this sounds like it's truly your passion.
Yeah.
Mm.
It is a perfect...
So tell us a bit more in terms of what makes businesses better in terms of diversity, whether it's racial or gender diversity, and just how, you know, what research we have about that.
Yeah, so if we look at it from a data perspective, the gender and race division across the sector is not equally the same. So, for example, in the nursing, we will see a more, I will say, diverse in terms of gender population, where in that instance we have less male nurses. In another area where we can look at it, such as a gig economy, we will see more ethnic and racial diversity. So gig economy, for example, if you think, and I'm not making any endorsement here, but simply about Uber or Lyft or DoorDash, all of that is something that is encompassing under gig economy. Here we have more racial diversity, yet those labor strata are not the high-paying labor force. And as such, when we go and change toward more, you know, legal profession, medical profession, here we see a clear distinction in terms of gender and in terms of ethnicity over the diversity of the workforce. We have, generally speaking, more than 80% of that population with white Caucasian, and generally speaking, majoritarily, again, more than 60 up to 80% male. So both the population in terms of leadership at that level is not representing the real workforce that we have in the United States, which is extremely diverse.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, companies really need, I believe, to be better prepared to know how to manage a diverse workforce. I know that there's lots of mini courses, and when people work in a hospital, they go through a whole week-long orientation before they can even start their job. And diversity is part of it. But it seems to me we have to do better at getting to things on a feeling level, a deeper level, because it tends to become more intellectual in a lot of organizations. And I don't think that's the best way to manage diversity. It's like we have to get out of our own comfort zone. We have to get out of our own personal world, whether you have more friends who are female or who are straight or who are African American or whatever, it seems like we're still struggling with getting out of our own little comfort zone and stepping into another world and trying to understand that world to the best that we can, so we can reach across the table and really appreciate the diverse perspectives, right? I don't know. This is my thought. This is my observation. It may not be accurate. What are your thoughts on all of this?
Well, you know, I think from a data perspective, I'm back to the data. Our world is very diverse. We have seen in the last, 20 years, a growth of more than 2 billion people worldwide, and even in the United States, an increased growth of more than 50% of the population. And what we see is that diversity is also a sense of innovation, right? It's what is also creating a growth in our economy. And that diversity is, I will say, the core of our future. Being able to bring to the table different perspective, different way in which we have experienced life and in which we are proposing solution to it is extremely important. And every organization, whatever are their size, have, I will say, a duty to make sure that they are upskilling and bringing people to their organization to reflect the country, the population of the country. Being able to not only incorporate, as you said, bringing them into the company or doing a week-long orientation, which, by the way, I do think it's way too short, because any type of employee actually need a longer period of time to be fully embedded into the organization, to feel included and create a sense of belonging. That is, I will say, essential for organization to understand that bringing people, attracting them, bringing them on board is not the win of the battle. The battle is to keep that talent in, because you have invested so much in bringing it. That you have to make sure that in terms of, time, finance, and human capital that you have invested, you are keeping that talent, you are developing it, not only for the work of today, but also for the work of tomorrow. And that includes, upskilling your workforce.
Mm-hmm. It is a huge investment, and I do business consulting, and what I hear from these organizations is, it's so frustrating for them to invest, whether it's like a week of time, because it's 40 hours, they're paying that employee, and there's nobody on the floors managing the hospital stuff except the temp people they hire or the contract nurses or whoever. And their concern is, we've invested so much time and energy a week long for them, a week of pay, and yet so many people quit before they even get started in the job. And the reason, when I ask, well, what's the reason? Maybe they found out this isn't the right fit, and, better to quit now than spend more time getting them acclimated to the job, and then they quit. But they'll say that a lot of individuals will quit and just say, it's not the job, it's not the duties. I understood what these duties were about. You explained it very well to us, to me, but I'm leaving because it's just not, I just can't handle it. I thought I could, but I've got more things going on in my life now and whatever. And so they'll hear that kind of an explanation, which is frustrating for them, because if they heard, well, we learned more about the company, it's not the right fit, and I need to move on now, then that's like, okay, well, that served a really good purpose. But they're trying to figure out, and maybe you can help us with this today, because I don't have the answers for all this, with people quitting saying, yes, you explained it, yes, I understood the job, but I've just decided it's, I've got other things going on, or my life changed overnight, and now I need to move on. What do you say, or what do you suggest, because it's very costly, as you would know, for these companies to manage orientation training and have people quit so soon after they've started?
Yeah, I don't know the particular, but from you know, if we go over the reason why talent may leave quickly, that's generally speaking due to the fact that there is initially an information asymmetry that exists. And when I say information asymmetry, I mean that one party knew more than the other. And so maybe in the recruitment process, some of the activity of those people that they have chosen to bring them on board have not been in full adequation. So, for example, bringing someone not only into, you know, what the job look like, but being able to see them during a day to assess how the individual performed the task is something that will also give a good legs up in terms of the talent coming in. Because suddenly the person will know what it looks like in real life after, you know, a day of doing that activity. That's number one. Number two, if people are quitting quickly, they are generally reason in their decision who have led them. And I will say here is a paradox of being human. Having one side being verbal about why they are leaving, but underlying there are other reasons that led them very quickly to make that decision about this environment is not the one where I see myself fit in. And if you look at it, I will say, depending, again, on the sector that one may focus, the reason why a candidate will quit within the first 12 months, it's generally speaking due to the fact that they don't feel that they are supported enough for them to be successful in the achievement of their task. And so one of the cues that employer can use here is creating different milestones, I will say both on a weekly basis but also on a monthly basis, to make sure that they are providing what the new employee is looking to have in the environment, where in this one, this individual or this group will see that there is a support system around him or around her or around theirs to make sure that they are successful in achieving their task.
Okay.
You know, I think it's both hands. The candidate is also very disappointed if they make the decision to leave a company that they just joined.
I like that idea, and creating those milestones with the employee so that, you know, it's a team effort and you're building that relationship as you go along.
And I will say the best way is, you know, using the PEARL system. That's something that works extremely well. Asking your newly joined employee, they are the best voice, knowing what the next generation of upcoming worker will want to see, you know, week one, week two, week three, week four, and so on in terms of support. And you will be surprised to see that those employees and their will of what is important to them across the week evolve over time. And, you know, I will say you are not eating an ice cream or unlikely to eat an ice cream in December in Massachusetts, but more likely to eat the ice cream in July. And all of that is because there is an environment over around you that will lead you or not to crave for this ice cream. And I'm taking this analogy because as an employee, your desires are not the same when you join a company in January or in July or in December, because you also have to think that there is a cycle of how the stress of an organization is surrounding with the business. For example, December for certain sectors are extremely busy, so onboarding people at that time have to be different than if you onboard them in March or in April when it's time who is low for the company. And all of that has to be thought of.
Okay. It's a good point. I'm thinking about a statistic I put in. I wrote a book on relationships and the relationship code regarding organizations. And this statistic you may have some thoughts on. It's people who have a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to be engaged in their jobs. And
yeah.
That goes along much of what you're saying, that when people are working virtually, I mean, you're addressing certainly promotional opportunities and advancement for minorities, for women. But it's also this whole thing of trying to keep a strong workforce and keep people past orientation. This whole thing of having a best friend at work, if you're working virtually, you're not necessarily feeling it, right? But if you are going into the office, you can make those connections, hopefully have lunch with somebody you feel connected to. Any thoughts on how that impacts productivity or any other data you might have around that?
Yeah. So, I think you touch upon something that is extremely important and quite important, the importance of having a friend at work. The ability to work remotely certainly impact that, and having a one-on-one real physical connection, I will say, duplicate the impact of feeling welcome and belong within the organization.
Interesting. We have to take a quick segment break. We're going to come back to that thought in just a moment. Stay tuned for more Business Life Works.
Did you know that more than 54% of Americans fight with people close to them because of stress? That people with positive social relationships recover from illness faster? And that people who have a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to be engaged in their jobs? The Relationship Code teaches us to empower ourselves in all types of relationships with the new techniques and insights of the 4-step harmonic matching process. The harmonic process integrates psychology with universal principles to help people achieve their desires. In the Relationship Code, you'll learn to create positive self-fulfilling prophecies, communicate effectively, enhance relationships on the job, overcome everyday and long-term challenges, and develop extraordinary outcomes. Published by Career Press and available now, you can go to www.margaretmacraw.com or call 410-366-9111 to order the book. Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach as well as a holistic health practitioner and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction. Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you 4 essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website tuneintolove.com.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works. We are here today with Paola Sessi D'Amelio, and she is a consultant, a guide, a professor at Harvard. There's so many things you have done, Paola. But I was getting your take on the statistic about individuals. Before our break, I was getting your take on how individuals are seven times more engaged in work if they have a best friend at work. And just wondered if you had any other data to support that or to help us in terms of keeping employees engaged with their jobs.
Yeah, the point of looking at having a best friend or a friend at work is extremely important. Why? Because it allows you to feel safe, to know that you have an environment who is supportive. And so what can employer do to multiply, I will say, that impact of creating more connection, more network within a company, and as such help employee to create more friend within the company? One very simple, I will say, nudge, and I like to call nudge as a light push, either, you know, in the process or in the information or in the way in which you create a connection among people, is having a lunch, a moment where you share food together. And even virtual, team can benefit of having moments of sharing a meal together. That level of connection has been shown to impact positively how people feel connected to others, how they are likely to create friendship with others. That's, I will say, one part of the equation. Another part of the equation that we can look at is the ability to be physically face-to-face is something that helps people in creating and in exchanging idea. The remote work have some benefits, but also have some limitation. And you touch upon that early on the ability to have and to be seen within the organization by your colleague, by your supervisor, and having your work not being questioned in terms of quality, but being questioned in terms of how that is bringing something to the project. And so I am, I have actually shown through some of my work and a recent article as well published in HBR that remote work, despite being very encouraging in the sense that we thought we could close gender and minority gap, actually, based on some of the work that I have done, accelerate some of the promotion gap for women and underrepresented individuals. And so being able to bring back people into the office at a minimum of 1 to 3 days, I do believe, and for the moment the data are suggesting and are very encouraging, that the gap is closing and not, I will say, accelerating in the way that will create even more gap between some of the segments of the workforce.
Okay. Now, is there any data specific to bringing people back in as far as the financial benefit, specific data on the financial benefit of bringing people back in for 3 days a week? Do we have that?
So there are some preliminary work that have been done by a colleague of mine and also myself working with some company where we actually see that the performance of team by being back in the office 2 to 3 days actually sparkle more problem solving in person. And, you know, a very simple equation is the more sooner you're solving a problem, the more likely you are to bring a stream of revenue from solving that problem. So there is still early data on that, but from what I have seen and also seen with other colleague research, there is actually an impact, a positive impact, positive financial impact in bringing back worker in company. Mm. And not necessarily for 5 full days. There is a several, I will say, midpoint of understanding how many times do you need to be connecting with people physically to actually recreate that cooperation and that spark of innovation. So that also depends on the sector.
Okay. Now, is it true for gender diversity and racial diversity that there's financial benefit to having this diverse workforce as far as gender and race goes? And do we have data for that as well?
And so what has been done, and here is, you know, the scientific lingo, and I will try to put it in a very laid back. There is a difference between finding that drinking milk creates people who are taller, rather than saying, well, when you drink milk, you're going to get taller. So there is a whole definition between a correlation, that one and one are going hand to hand, or a causation. And as far as research has shown, there is a correlation for team and organization who are more diverse, both, I will say, from the aspiring leader to leadership diversity, that outperform their peers compared to companies who are less diverse, both in terms of executives, but also in terms of workforce. There is a correlation. We observe that there is a relationship. Is it a causation? No one so far has been able to demonstrate that that there is a causation. Causation is something that is extremely hard to demonstrate in science.
Mm, okay, interesting. Well, let's get back to what can companies do to attract more diverse applicants. What suggestions do you have?
Well, I think there are several things that I discussed in the book, war solution that employer can use. So in terms of attracting, I will say this, if we go with the first step is posting a job online, making sure that the requirements are short, no more than 7, and that the language that they are using is inclusive, as well as proposing what is a template of the CV that they are looking to receive. That's, I will say, two powerful nudges that employer can use. Passing through the act of attracting those individuals is making sure that when the CV is reviewed by potential HR individual, making sure that those CV are anonymized, including in the term of gaps that may exist, for example, for some people coming back.
Excuse me one second, Kayla. We've got to take a quick segment break. Hold that thought. We're going to finish this conversation when we come back, okay? We'll be back in just a moment with more Business Life Works.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCall. You're listening to Business Life Works. We are here today with Paola Sessi D'Amelio, and she is helping us with the topic of how to attract diverse talent and manage everyone better while making a profit. Her new book, Diversity Dividend, The Transformational Power of Small Changes to De-Bias Your Company, Attract Diverse Talent, Manage Everyone Better, and Make More Money, is the topic of our conversation today. Paola, where can our listeners buy your book?
Amazon, but I will say every big retailer offer the book either online or in their physical store. Everyone can also find the different type of retailer, the big one and the small one, on the MIT publisher website.
Okay, great, thank you. And how about your website? Is that something you'd like to give our listeners today? Is it something that would be beneficial to them, or is this more geared toward your work at the university?
No, you, I will say two things. You can follow some of my work that I have carried over the last two decades, and that is something that is regularly updated on my website, which is my first name, Paola, and last name, Cecchi D'Amelio. But you can also follow me on LinkedIn, where I post on a regular basis over various topics, or also within my column that I have on a monthly basis at Forbes.com. And
okay.
My publication.
I want to spell your name for our listeners. It's the first name, Paola's first name is spelled P-A-O-L-A, and then your last name is hyphenated, so it's C, like cat, E-C-C, like cat, H-I hyphen D-I-M-E, G-L-I-O, and it'll be posted on HealthyLife.net radio as well as my guest today. So our listeners can do a search for you and find you in social media as well, correct?
That's correct.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, let's get back to our topic and where we left off when we took a break. So we were talking about how companies can attract more diverse applicants. You were giving us, I believe, the third suggestion, and you were giving us, starting to give us an example.
Yeah, so, you know, you are attracting your talent. Now, in terms of recruitment, what can your recruiter do to make sure that when they are reviewing that diverse talent, they are providing the best decision, meaning that there is less bias kicking in and that they are bringing the most diverse pool to receive an offer. So one simple nudge that employer can use is creating a template of a CV for the candidate to meet the expectation of what the recruiter will look at. As such, in the front of him, the recruiter will have 100 CVs who all look like the same in the way the presentation is made, but also avoiding to have any gap that is presented in the front of them, because generally speaking, there are people from the workforce coming back to work, or the one who are not coming from, the right school, as we will say, those ones are in disadvantage oftentimes. And as such, removing from the CV all those gap here or qualification that seems to be so important and skew the decision is a good way. And with the use of AI, there are nowadays a lot of ways in which employer can benefit from it. There is also a way in which the reviewer, bearing in mind that they may get fatigued over time while looking at candidates, one way that they can do is making sure that after rating a candidate for the job interview, they do so right away and not wait until, they have seen four or five candidates. That's something that is helping in reducing biases. But also, what can the employee do to make sure that he's more likely to receive a job offer? Simply sending a thank you note at the end of the interview increase the likelihood of him receiving after a call from the potential employer, not necessarily with this job, but at least with the next round or next position, those individuals are more likely to be contacted again by the organization.
Mm. You know, the other thing is I know when I post an ad on Indeed for our company, when people who have applicants reach out to me and just say, I just want to bring to your attention, they'll send a message through Indeed, and they'll just say, I just want to reach out to you and let you know I applied for this position and really, really interested or something like that. Or they'll look up my website and fill out the contact form and send an email that way. I have to say I always pay attention. They get bumped up to the list because so many people I have found apply for jobs and they're not always paying attention to what they're even applying for. They're just shooting their resume out in a lot of different directions, wondering if something might come back their way. Sometimes, I've called applicants and they don't even have any recollection of applying, or they're like, what's this about? Or, no, I don't remember applying. And they did apply. So, that's very discouraging for an employer. So when somebody sends me a note, a message, and says, I just want to let you know I applied today or I applied last week. I'm sure you have lots of applicants, but just would like you to know that I am very interested in this position. Boy, does that get my attention. They get a call from me, okay? So it's interesting, because it's got to work both ways, right?
It does. It absolutely does. And it's, the employer also pay attention to people who care about applying to a company or to a job, knowing that they also have done their research.
Yes. It means a lot. It means a lot to me that somebody got on our website and checked us out, So, yeah, because as you've said in many different ways, it's an investment, and there needs to be that investment both ways. For sure. Well, when we're talking about this whole thing of onboarding earlier and how crucial it is to increasing diversity, is there any suggestions you have back to onboarding for a moment in terms of how we can do that better once we've brought somebody on to our company?
Yeah, one nudge that has, and I discuss about it extensively in the book, when you arrive in an organization, you want to make sure that you are creating an environment that creates inclusivity and belonging up front. And one way to do so is to provide candidates with a list of five people that you suggest them to reach out in the next 12 months. And those individuals are key connector across the organization that will, along the way, hopefully be advocate and sponsor of that talent.
Okay, we're going to come back to that because I love that idea. We're going to take a quick segment break. We'll be back in just a moment with Business Life Works, speaking today with Paola Sessi D'Amelio. Stay tuned.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction. Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you four essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website tuneintolove.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works. We're here today with Paola Sessi D'Amelio, and we are talking about diversity. We're talking about the transformational power of making small changes to bring the company back in alignment and to be more creative, have better leadership, and to make more money as well. Before we wrapped up this segment last time, Paola, you were giving us some suggestions for onboarding, and I love the suggestion. I heard you say give the new employees five people to reach out to for guidance, support, coaching, whatever. I missed the period of time, though. Five people to reach out to during what period of time were you saying?
So for when the employee is joining, sharing with them a list of five people that they should reach out within the next 12 months. In the next 12 months. And if you think about the compounding effect, right, every time an employee is coming and joining and having five people that they reach out and that those five people are sharing five people themselves of who they think that person should talk to, suddenly the individual within the organization create, I will say, an octopus tactic within the organization to meet a lot of people across various departments, across various levels, which become extremely important along the way. Because when you think about the time of the promotion, you want to make sure that you are creating enough sponsorship and network that will bring you to your next job. And one way to do so is expanding the network up front.
Hmm. extending the network of what did you say? I missed that last word.
It's extending the network of France, of sponsor, of people who are able to provide you with a next opportunity.
I think that's great because also new employees would not necessarily approach somebody and to be given the name and a title of somebody and to have it suggested or recommended or required even at orientation to reach out to that person. It kind of gives them, I don't want to say excuse, but it gives them an entry point to contact this person in some other department. And it also would I think create the energy around the engagement so that the other person would give them the time of day, right? And not just say, well, I'm busy, can you call me back in a week? But to schedule something with them and to commit to having lunch or some time, committing some time to them. That's an excellent point. I love that. That's great. Thank you.
And you know,
is there anything else you want to suggest regarding onboarding that would be helpful before we move on to the next topic?
Yeah, one side of it, of what also employer can do is, you know, having the leadership sending out an email and saying, if you are working on the building, hey, I'm going, I'm in the office today, I'm going right now to grab a coffee from 1 to 2. If people want to meet, here is, you know, 10 or 15 people who can sign up and have a coffee with me just for an hour. I promise you that this nudge also helps tremendously to create connection across department, but also with leadership, and have a dual impact of increasing the trust toward leader within the organization and creating accessibility and loyalty for employees.
I like that. Now, if people are working virtually, and there are some businesses where people work virtually and need to continue working virtually because they're spread out. They're not in a physical location where, you know, maybe they're all not in the same city. Okay? So in cases like that, is there a way that you suggest, like maybe a Zoom meeting of, hey, not necessarily a staff meeting, but, hey, even lunch together on Zoom? I don't know. I'm just wondering if that would be a good idea of, hey, I'm here, the leadership is going to be on Zoom, and if you want to come on and talk to us or ask us any questions or just have lunch with us, then feel free. Have a cup of coffee with us. What do you think of that?
Yeah, this is also something that I'm discussing in Diversity Dividend. So, you know, when you work remote and in which people don't need to be physically present, how do you continue to create, and do we have intervention that work to create that connection? As I mentioned to you, the water cooler, exactly as mentioned, either a tea or sharing a drink or food virtually with somebody else, or with a group no more, I will say that, 10 people online is something that works very well. The sharing of a meal actually change or a drink with someone virtually help in creating those connections.
I like that. Okay. Sounds good. Well, how about mentorship and sponsorship? It seems like in some ways that's been lost in many organizations, especially when there's high turnover, and possibly that's part of the reason of the turnover is the lack of mentorship or sponsoring new employees, even after an employee's been in an organization for a while. It seems to me that could be an important role. You do address this in your book. Can you talk about this a little bit with us and give us some suggestions for making sure there is mentorship and sponsorship when we have our employees' base needing and asking for support?
Yeah, I think, you know, mentor and sponsor are different. Mentor are the people who will give you direction related to your work or not. They can be found in your professional or personal network. A sponsor is someone that will be in the room making sure that they can advocate for you into your next role or next opportunity for growth to be promoted to something that you have been working on. And so, you know, the notion of network that we have addressed early on reaching out early is something that helps in creating more sponsor. But there is, I will say, a way in which you can think about fostering sponsorship and mentorship. Having through layers of the organization, people who are in leadership, sponsoring a class of newcomer, and as such, taking an interest of people all joining, for example, in the month of January or in the year of 2023, and making sure that this executive, and not only one, but having one or two being present when those individuals come up in terms of promotion and following their career and asking those individuals to keep them updated about their success, but also something that is important, their setback, as I should say, or failure, some people may refer to it, which I think is of importance in the career growth, is something that works very well because you are also creating a sponsor who is able to say and have this 360 view and helicopter view about your career, able to update him over time.
Okay. We have to wrap up. We didn't even get to performance appraisals. There's so much more we could talk about. I'll have to plan to bring you back to talk about some more of these things because it's such an important topic, and I think organizations are really struggling today with trying to pull it all together and truly lead in the most powerful way and to create that culture that that employees gravitate toward and are happy to be part of. So thank you for being with us, Paola. I want to give the name of your book again. It's called Diversity Dividend, The Transformational Power of Small Changes to De-Bias Your Company, Attract Diverse Talent, Manage Everyone Better, and Make More Money. And Paola's book can be bought wherever books are sold for the most part, certainly Amazon. Thank you for being with us today, and keep me posted on all the good things you're doing and on any new books, and I'll look toward bringing you back at some point.
Thank you so much, Margaret, and thank you so much to all the listeners listening to us today.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, we'll be in touch. Bye-bye. And then, bye. My listeners, stay tuned. I'll just do a quick wrap-up with you.